You're listening to Inside Law, a podcast produced by Polsinelli, a national full-service law firm stretching from coast to coast.
Hello, and welcome to Polsinelli's first ever Polsinelli at Work podcast. I'm Rob Enten, a shareholder in the Chicago office. With me today is Mark Nelson, my former Chicago colleague, now in our Denver office. This is the first of several podcasts brought to you by Polsinelli's Management and Labor Relations Attorneys, where we talk about all things unions, what's happening at the NLRB, and current events and issues facing our clients, both unionized and non-union. Please subscribe and let us know how we did at our website, www.polsinelliatwork.com, and absolutely share with your human resources, in-house counsel, and labor relations specialists. All of our current and future podcasts and webinars can be found at www.polsinelliatwork.com. Mark, hello, how are you? And a quick congratulations on your Chicago Cubs ending their 13-game losing streak at home. I really hope that that makes the montage of their 2021 season. How are you, my friend?
Rob, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing better than the Chicago Cubs. And hopefully after my White Sox take another three from them this weekend, I'll be doing even better.
Yep, Rob, my soul is crushed by the recent transactions. But on a brighter note, your White Sox appear to be destined to be in the World Series.
Well,
they don't disappoint.
As any self-respecting White Sox fan knows, those type of words feel like just a hot knife in the back. we are always set up to expect the very worst. But let's hope that I'm wrong. So, Mark, about a month ago, we got a new general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board. And if you recall back in February, you and I presented at our department's Back to the Future with the Biden Board webinar, which is still available on our website. And at the time, you and I spoke about President Biden's abrupt firing of General Counsel Peter Robb and the interim appointment of General Counsel Peter Orr from our Region 13 here in Chicago. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, in a completely partisan vote, which required Vice President Kamala Harris to break the tie, Congress confirmed the new general counsel of the Labor Board, Jennifer Abruzzo. Not a complete surprise that the confirmation of a general counsel would fall along party lines, but typically, I think a few senators will always cross the aisle and vote in favor of the nominee. Jennifer's nomination, however, appeared to be a little bit more confrontational and controversial. Wouldn't you say?
Rob, I agree. The confirmation process was highly contentious, in large part because Ms. Abruzzo served on President Biden's transition team, and many Republicans believe she was intimately involved in the decision to fire then-current NLRB General Counsel Peter Robb. Now, that action has set a potentially damaging precedent because it was the first time a newly elected president had ever fired the incumbent NLRB general counsel.
And we could probably save kind of, because if I remember correctly, that there still are some protests about that termination. We could probably save it for another podcast, shameless plug. But let's put Peter Robb aside. I mean, because regardless of the circumstances involved in her nomination or Peter Robb's separation, I think that we both agree that she is eminently qualified. I've heard her speak at several ABA and other conferences. I find her to be very intelligent, articulate, deliberate, and thoughtful. You know her pretty well. What can you tell us about an Abruzzo Office of the General Counsel?
More than a decade, both in her roles as a deputy general counsel to then General Counsel Dick Griffin and as the acting general counsel, both of those during the Obama administration, and as a friend. Jennifer has been with the board for more than 20 years, and in my view, is as knowledgeable about the role of the general counsel and the functionings of the labor board as any of her predecessors, and most likely more than most. She understands very well how the agency works and how to achieve her goals. She's likable, hardworking, and as you said, very smart. But I expect that she's going to push to advance the interests of unions broadly, which will have another side effect of significantly reducing or limiting employer rights.
Yeah, I think it's really important to explain to our listeners why the general counsel position is so important, perhaps even more so than the composition of the labor board, which, you know, shameless plug, or another shameless plug, we will be discussing during our next podcast. Besides being the top cop at the board, the individual that submits the budget to the president, which in this case likely will lead to the hiring of more investigators and field attorneys, she's going to be the individual who dictates federal labor policy. And she's the person vis-a-vis the regional office who's going to decide what constitutes an unfair labor practice, what cases will go to trial, and how elections will be conducted. Sure, she's not operating in a vacuum, and it's the ALJ decisions which ultimately go to the labor board. But to use a poor analogy, the GC is the person that decides what's on the menu. Now, am I overstating her importance? And if not, how is she going to differ from the last general counsel, the Trump-appointed Peter Robb?
You're not overstating it at all, Rob. She's going to be very different. On August 12th of this year, the board released Ms. Abruzzo's 10-page memo that outlines cases that she would like to review in the near term. Now, this is a common practice for new board general counsels in that they wish to identify cases that can be used possibly to change current board law. What's remarkable about Jennifer's list is there are 50 plus cases or fact situations which she would like to look at, which is substantially more than most other general counsels that have been in office during, you know, my years as a labor attorney. And she just recently released another memo advocating and espousing the benefits of the board being able to seek injunctive relief in many cases, say where parties are going into first contract negotiations and it's not going along well. She advocates, or I expect her to advocate, that if sufficient progress isn't being made in first contract negotiations, the board may look to issue an injunction against the employer and significantly constrain the employer's ability to negotiate as it otherwise would. And that could also be the case in cases where during an organizing campaign, employees end up getting fired for legitimate cause, but the board could seek an injunction to require that employee to be reinstated until the unfair labor practice charges is issued. So it's going to be very different, I believe, than anything we've seen in quite some time coming from the labor board.
So I guess so much for the employer's right to engage in hard bargaining, eh?
I'm afraid you may be right.
So let's a few moments we have left. Let's put on your prognosticator hat. Tell me three different priorities and areas of law that you expect to see changed in the next 4 years with Jennifer Abruzzo serving as the NLRB's top cop.
My predictive hit list is number one is going to be the independent contractor joint employer status. That's a certainty, which creates all sorts of issues for businesses that are somewhat related, say a contractor and a subcontractor, or in the franchise or franchisee setting. That will create many problems for that and liability exposures for all entities involved. I think we'll also see a very restrictive scrutiny of employer policies, particularly limitations or guidance on how employees should conduct and comport themselves. And I think a third one is I would expect the board to expand union access to employer property to enable unions and union supporters to more easily unionize target employees.
So Scabby the Rat's not going anywhere, is he?
Nope. He may, divide and multiply, but he's going to be around for quite some time.
So other than those that are in the business of producing inflatable balloons and large inflatable balloons at that, it seems
that's the happy employer.
Right. I think that, you know, we both agree along with the others that practice in this area that we are once again kind of on the verge of a pretty seismic shift with the board, or at least the office of the general counsel. And as we all know, that that's actually what our clients are going to feel the most. So on that uplifting note, we'll put a capper on today's discussion. Thanks, Mark, for your terrific insight. Mark and I are going to be back in the next few weeks to discuss the Labor Board's newest members, Gwen Wilcox and David Prouty, and what in a few months will become the Democratic majority. In the interim, please go to our website, www.pulcinelliatwork.com, where you can subscribe to our podcasts, e-alerts, and blogs, listen to past webinars, including Back to the Future with the Biden Board, and learn a little bit more about our talented management labor relations attorneys in Chicago, Denver, and across the country. Until next time, I'm Rob Enten, and I thank you for listening.
We want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, and it should not be based solely on advertising. The information and discussions in this podcast do not constitute legal advice, and listeners should consult legal counsel regarding their specific subject matter. Thank you for listening to Inside Law, a podcast produced by Polsinelli.